Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is a special day, just in case you didn't notice. Something special is about to happen. Part of what is special about this day is it's still Easter. Yes, it was last week when the whole family was there. Yes, it was last week when everything was kind of special and new and different. Last week is when we were really rejoicing in our Savior's resurrection, but it's still Easter. He's still alive. You're still forgiven. You're still His child. In fact, every day that you and I as Christians live in this world, it's Easter. For we know that the one who came into this world is the one who lived and died and rose to guarantee that you can make some promises today. Came, lived, died, and rose, so that the rest of us can remember similar promises that we may have made or we may be making someday. It's still Easter. What an opportunity as you think about confirmation and as you think about confessing that faith and promising your faithfulness to that precious word, that it happens as we're still standing in the shadow of that empty tomb, as we're still rejoicing in the fact that because that tomb is empty, we know we're forgiven, we know He's God, we know He'll keep every promise, and He's able to hear your promise. And so you and I gather as members of God's church to rejoice again in what our Lord and our Savior has done for us. And it's your turn to witness. It's your turn to witness. We're going to think about that idea using the last part of our first lesson. These words from Acts chapter 5. I'm going to reread verses 26 through 32. Then the captain went with the officers and brought the apostles in without force, because they were afraid that the people might stone them. After they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin. The high priest asked them, "Did we not give you strict orders not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging Him on a cross. God exalted Him to His right hand as Prince and Savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." It's your turn to witness. A hostile world surrounds you, but the Holy Spirit supports you. If you remember nothing else from today, remember those two things. A hostile world surrounds you, but the Holy Spirit supports you. The apostles understood the hostile world. They'd seen it. They lived it. They saw what the world did to Jesus. They saw all the way back from the days of the fall into sin how God's people were busily arresting prophets, putting prophets to death, exiling them, refusing to listen to what they had to say. And just as Jesus told them, just as they had been constantly rejecting the prophets, so they finally came to them rejecting the Son of God Himself. We're not that far removed from Lent, and we got to see the hostility of the world that surrounded Jesus as He was betrayed, denied, killed, buried, abandoned. Finally, the leaders put Him to death just as they wanted to do. He's not there, not visibly anymore. He has risen from the grave. We know that He has won, but now they can't aim that hostility at Jesus anymore, so they aim it at the apostles. And the rest of the lesson reminded us of how they had to deal with it. They're busy teaching. They're busy proclaiming who Jesus is. They get arrested. They get thrown into the public jail. And while the Sanhedrin is deciding what they're going to be doing with them, the next day the angel comes, opens up all the doors, lets them out, and all of a sudden they're back in the temple again, and the leaders are left scratching their heads. I wonder how that happened. They had something to say. They bring them before them, and the Sanhedrin, the government of the day, said, "What part of stop don't you understand? We were pretty clear here. Stop talking in that name. And yet here you are, standing in the temple courts. You filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And to make matters worse, you're busy trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. Wasn't that the group that shouted to Pilate not all that long before? Let his blood be on us and on our children. But now they don't want it anymore. Notice what they did. They were surrounded by that hostile world, and never once did they use Jesus' name. They talked about your teaching. They talked about this name, this man, but they never once used the name Jesus. And they don't want to use it, and they don't want anybody else using it either. Stop teaching in this name. You are about to confess what you have learned. The past 2 to 3 years, and even longer, have given you an opportunity to sit at the feet of your Lord and your Savior, and you have learned about God. No, not just God. Jesus. There's all kinds of people who claim to know God. There's all kinds of people who will say, I believe in God. But you know the name. And you get to use the name. Jesus. Not just some vague God that we make up in our minds. Not just some made-up deity that's busily demanding something from you constantly, making sure that you take your pilgrimage or you make your sacrifice or you give up stuff, whatever it is. You know Jesus. You know the God who gives you forgiveness, gives you righteousness, gives you life and salvation. It's your turn to witness. It's your turn, even though you're still surrounded by a hostile world, it's your turn to witness. And you get to use the name Jesus, the Savior of the world. The world isn't much different. A hostile world still surrounds you. There are still going to be those who are going to tell you, don't talk, don't use this name. You can talk about any God that you want to, but you can't use this name. This name might offend somebody. A long time ago, I once heard somebody say, there really are only two things in the Bible that are offensive to people. One's the law, the other's the gospel. That's all there is. The moment you mention Jesus, the sinful human nature starts to cringe because it all of a sudden understands, I'm not doing what God told me to do. God's the one who made me. God's the one who says, this is what I expect you to do. This is what I created you to do. And if you don't do it, don't be surprised at hell. The wages of sin is death. So if you're going to rise up in opposition to the name of Jesus, you know what's coming. But the sinful nature says, I can't be that bad. And then the idea of a Savior who comes and lives and dies for me, sinful pride says, I can't be that helpless. I should be able to do something. I should be able to start or finish or help. And maybe I don't even need him. I'm pretty good. I'm living a whole lot better than that guy is. You know the name. And even though you live in a hostile world that tries to tell you not to speak in this name, tries to tell you that maybe you're going to offend somebody, you have the opportunity to be able to let that light shine that has been planted into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you get to be witnesses, even though a hostile world surrounds you. These are your promises. You're about to say these things. But if we made you make these promises and just kind of threw you outside the doors, that wouldn't be all that loving. It wouldn't be all that nice of us to say, yep, okay, you got a hostile world out there, go at it. No, we leave these doors together. And we leave these doors rejoicing the fact that not just the front row, it's not just your turn to witness, it's all of our turn to witness. And not only do we get to go out there surrounded by a hostile world, but you are supported by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who supports you. Look at who's on your side. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his right hand as Prince and Savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Look who's on your side. As hostile as that world is, the Holy Spirit supports you. God the Father. He's the one who raised Jesus. God had been making promises. God could have scrapped this whole thing. The moment Adam and Eve rebelled, God the Father could have said, well, that's enough of that, and thrown everything away. Or He could have just left everything go and said, well, you made your bed, you lie in it. You're the one that's sinning. You're the one that dies. Instead, He made a promise. And He promised to send Jesus. And He raised Jesus from the dead. So you know the promise is kept. You know that you've got forgiveness. You know that you're His child. No matter what happens in the rest of your life, you are His child. Because God made you, God saved you. And that precious Spirit fills you with faith and sends you out as His witnesses. But He's the witness too. He's the one that gave Peter and the rest of the apostles the strength and the courage to stand up and say, God raised Jesus. That's the one, by the way, that you guys killed. Remember him? The one that you arrested? The one that you put on the cross? The one that you said you wanted nothing to do with? God has raised this Jesus. He's the Prince. He's the King. You're forgiven. And He continues to be that witness through this amazing word. It's your turn to witness. The Holy Spirit supports you. And because of that, you and I rejoice in the fact that we get to obey. We get to listen to Him. And even though there may be some out there who will say, you can't do this, you can say just like the apostles did, we must obey God rather than men. The Holy Spirit supports you. And as you make those promises, He is the one who's going to give you the opportunity to remember what you learned. Remember this. This is not the end. Confirmation is not graduation. Confirmation is not, oh good, I don't have to drive in the church and get my kids delivered here every Wednesday night like I have for the last 3 years. This is life. You're not done with this church stuff. You remember what you learned, not just in confirmation class, but you remember what you learned as your mom and your dad taught you as you sat in Sunday school and as you sat in the schools of this school. You remember what the Holy Spirit tells you. He's the one who supports you. And as you remember what you learned, then you build on what you learned. This is not just a part of life. This is not just something that you do every now and then. This is life. Everything that you do revolves around what you learn in this precious book, as you learn from these precious words that tell you that these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. No matter what you end up doing, no matter where you end up going, no matter how old God allows you to get in this world, you need this. And I'm not just talking to the front row. You need this. This is life. This is what everything revolves around. Because it's your turn to witness. Yes, a hostile world surrounds you. That hasn't changed. But the Holy Spirit supports you. That hasn't changed either. And it never will. Amen.